All right, folks, you are listening to a podcast from the Jeff Horvitz Show, brought to you by Timberline Firearms and Training.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, folks, welcome back, and I'm happy to have on the program. He is a senior advisor to President Donald Trump's 2020 campaign. He was also President Trump's campaign manager in 2016, Corey Lewandowski. How you doing, Corey?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, did you catch the game?
Baseball game? I watched Fauci's pitch. Does that count, right?
Yeah. But what happened? Did he lost the mask, I guess, for a little while there. It was empty, though.
In the old TV show, they said just a bit outside. If you remember that, Major League, right?
Yeah,
that was the old show.
Charlie Sheen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I, it's got to be tough throwing that ball out. But if you're going to do like a granny shot, I don't know.
It's not that tough. Okay. The home plate to the pitcher's mound is 60 feet, 6 inches. It's not that hard. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Come on.
Well, I do wonder though. They're wearing the mask. He's wearing the mask on the field, and I saw. I think most of the players were too. That's social distancing. I mean, baseball. You don't, especially the pitcher.
I mean, look, the whole thing. Honestly, I really don't understand it. You had a guy standing in center field.
Yeah.
He's 5,000 feet away from the guy in right field because these fields are so big, and you're making him wear a mask, and then they say you can't spit. Look. Hey, maybe these guys, you can't chew tobacco, you can't chew sunflower seeds, and there's no spitting in baseball. What was that baseball movie, the other one, No Crying in Baseball?
Yeah.
I mean,
Tom Hanks,
it's the same thing. Now we're saying you can't, not only can you not cry, you can't even spit in baseball.
It's really sad to see. There's going to be masks. It's going to look like squirrels or chipmunks. There's just going to be those empty seeds filling the mask.
It's really insane, actually. Yeah. And they were piping in sound to make the players happy, like, hey, we really care that you're here. Come on.
Yeah, it is. You know what? It's sad to see all this. And then the kneeling, seeing the kneeling everyone. And I would guess, Corey, I don't want you to put words in his mouth, but when President Trump sees that, I'm sure it just upsets him greatly.
Well, look, here's what I know. And, and being kid about wearing masks and things.
Sure.
There are too many people who have literally given their lives for that flag, for what that flag represents and what it means. And, I just don't understand how it is respectful to kneel and say that we're not going to stand for the national anthem. I really don't understand the concept behind it. I'm not being facetious. I don't get it. I grew up, my brother served 23 years as United States Marine. My father served in Vietnam. My grandfather served in World War II. These were men who went out and signed up to go and protect our country, to protect what that flag stands for. And I believe in peaceful protests. 1,000% I do.
Absolutely.
But I don't understand what the rationale is of a team kneeling to say we don't have the decency to stand for that flag. I really don't get it. And that's why I think the American people don't understand it either.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. All right. Yesterday we talked about this as kind of as we were coming out of the show. The convention in Jacksonville, big news came out regarding that. I've seen the headlines. I haven't dove too deep into it. Are we looking at a virtual convention or give me the details?
Yeah. I mean, look, here's what we're going to have. We're still going to have a 4-day convention in the sense of, it won't be the same as it has historically been, which is all the delegates, all the alternates, and a whole bunch of people coming to one location. I am sure the president is still going to have the opportunity to address the American people and lay out his case of what he's achieved in the first term and what he wants to achieve in his second term. And I believe that the vice president is still going to have that opportunity for national media attention. Mrs. Trump, Mrs. Pence both still have that because, while I'm not certain of this, I believe the networks are still required to give each of the candidates some air coverage for the convention. And that's going to be true with the Democrats who are also not having a convention. So, what I really think is going on here is in the world of COVID, we've had to hit the reset button in the way that we conduct our lives, in the way that we travel, in the way that our children go to school. And this is a reset to say we have to do the convention differently. And I think it makes a whole bunch of sense for people right now who want to be able to socially distance themselves from other people who might be in high risk categories, who don't want to be next to others, perfectly fine. But I still think that we're going to have the American people have the opportunity to hear the message directly from the president, the vice president, and the first and second lady through the media coverage, which I'm fairly certain they'll still be able to attain.
All right, folks, we're talking with Corey Lewandowski. Corey, does it kind of send a little bit of a mixed message? Because, look, I've got three kids and schooling, and most of my listeners, many of my listeners and everyone around the country is like, what do I do with my kids? I want to send them back to school. Most of the schools are going to virtual schooling, but there's a lot of folks like myself. They're like, I want my kids to go back to in-person learning. And I think President Trump has spoken to that measure as well. Does it send kind of a mixed message, though? Hey, we're not going to do the convention, but... you know, but we're going to do it virtually, but let's send kids to school. I think we should go back. Don't get me wrong.
Look, let me tell you, I've got four kids that ages 9 to 13 years old, okay? And believe me, nobody wants them to go back to school more than me, I promise you. Or maybe only my wife, okay? Because we've been virtual learning. But let me tell you about going back to school. It's not just about the social interaction that the children have with each other. Part of what the schools have done, and it's a very important component, is in some places, particularly in economic areas which are not as affluent as others, schools are serving as a check and balance. These kids are getting a hut meal from the schools, which may be the only hut meal they're getting. The teachers are ensuring that those students are not being abused at home and are not being, and they're showing up every day. They are serving as a check and balance on that home structure. And what we know is that teachers are the first line of defense when parents aren't doing their at home and children are in an unsafe environment. We've seen that now. And by not opening those schools, we're doing a disservice to those students. So look, the fact that we can open Walmart, but we can't open our schools is a little troubling to me. The difference here is, you know, look, this is about moms and children and people going back to normal life. The convention is an opportunity for people, if they want to stand next to each other, to do that. That's perfectly fine. You want to go to a rally? You can do that. The school system is a very different set of circumstances, and the reason for that is we have to ensure, look, from what I'm told, 30% of the kids, particularly in lower socioeconomic status areas, stop showing up on the Zoom calls or the Skype calls for the virtual learning. They just say, hey, we're gone. We're never coming back, probably – They might have parents at home that don't care about them or are too busy or not engaged. We can't allow that to happen for fear of potentially catching a virus which has a 99.96% survival rate, particularly amongst children.
Yeah, and Corey, that's something that we've brought up is you can't leave your – and you said you have four kids. You can't leave your 8-year-old at home and say, here, sit in front of the TV. It puts these parents in a hard position. They can't work, and they got to become the teacher as well.
Well, that's right. And look, you know, I'm very fortunate. My wife actually was a school teacher before we got married. And so, you know, for us, she has that core competency, but a lot of people don't. But look, let me tell you how crazy things are. You know, we live in the state of New Hampshire, and we drove up to Maine just last week, and I've got four children and me and my wife. So a total of six people. And we went into a store up there, and the store said, there's only five people allowed in the store at a time. I said, but we're the same family. They said, it doesn't matter. I said, so what do you propose? They said, one of your kids can wait out on the sidewalk if you'd like.
Wow.
And I said, what are we doing in this world? Look, one death for COVID is one death too many. But we have treated this disease, this pandemic, like, you know, nothing we have ever seen. I don't ever remember tracking or hearing CNN track the number of influenza cases or flu cases that we have on a yearly basis. And I don't know what that number is, but my guess is it probably rivals the number of people who've been tested positive for COVID-19. So we have to put it in perspective. We closed our economy. We flattened the curve. People stayed home for the better part of 3 months because we were asked to do that to protect elderly and people in high risk. But we also have to find a way in this world to live our lives. And the first step for that for many people is making sure their children are back to school and then people can go back to work, because you have to be able to earn a living to maintain a lifestyle.
All right, folks, Corey Lewandowski is my guest. You were there 2016, obviously, President Trump's campaign manager. And I remember covering, as he won this and then when he got sworn in. And I remember the protests that were going on and people just kind of going berserk. And it was like, wow, look at this. This is exploding. I look back at the level of protests and what was happening then and say, wow, that's pretty tame to what we're seeing now. I mean, what's changed? I mean, when you look at 16 to 20, just four short years, because you've been involved with all this, how do you see it? How's it different?
You know what's changed? AOC, Rashid Tlaib, the far left extremists who believe that anarchists and domestic terrorism should be embraced and not and not vilified. You know, they truly believe, and they call these people mostly peaceful protesters. Throwing Molotov cocktails through windows, when you are lighting police substations on fire, when you're killing innocent people, those aren't peaceful protesters. When you take over the CHOP zone and people are dying up there because the police can't come in and protect the people who live there, that's not a peaceful protest. So I think the big difference here is the radical, far radical left has really taken over the Democratic Party. They make Nancy Pelosi look like she's a moderate all of a sudden. And you remember, none of us, by and large, and I use that term collectively, traveled during the COVID pandemic for the full month of April and probably a lot of May. And if you listen to them in the Green New Deal, they don't think that we went far enough. There were no planes flying. There were no cars going anywhere. No one was buying gasoline or fuel or anything else. And they said, hey, our carbon footprint is still too large. They're extreme radicals. They support Antifa. They want to defund the police. Look, when you say to somebody, we're going to take money away from you and give it to somebody else, they can call it whatever they want. We call that defunding. And when you take $1 billion away from the New York City Police Department or Minnesota or whatever it may be, that is defunding the police. That's what they believe in. This president, by contrast, believes in law and order, standing with the men and women who stand on the thin blue line to keep us safe every day. And that's what this election is going to be about come November.
I traveled, and I wish AOC was, I don't really wish she was in the car, but I wish some of these folks would go hit the road, because they'd see that the whole world's not, you know, burning down, and that there's tons of open space, and it's not all polluted. But I actually hit the road and went up from Arizona to South Dakota, which is a totally different environment, and the governor there's done a totally different approach. This is about a couple of days before the president went to Mount Rushmore. How do you deal with, you got the governor of South Dakota, who I think hit this right the whole way. Our governor here, it's been hit and miss. I got to be honest with you. He hasn't been very popular over this. But then you see, you know, California, New York, those governors. How does President Trump deal with these governors? I mean, in a way, they're telling him, hey, you got to fix this thing, but don't mess with our state. Don't tell our state what to do.
Well, these governors, by and large, want all the federal money, but none of the restrictions that come with that money. Give us the opportunity to spend the money the way we want and don't tell us what to do. The problem is, right, New York, which has a smaller population than the state of Florida, has 8 times the death rate because of the way Governor Cuomo has handled this pandemic. Look, Governor Noem in South Dakota, here's what she basically said. We're not closing any businesses. We're not going to determine who's going to be a winner or loser. It's personal responsibility. Go and be smart. We're going to make sure our schools are open. We're going to make sure our communities are safe. If we have to call out our National Guard to make sure that marauders aren't running through the streets and looting our buildings, we're going to do that, because that's the South Dakota way. And by the way, her state has seen a huge increase in traffic, particularly tourism traffic, over the last year. They finished their state with almost a $20 million budget surplus, which is a big number for a small state like that. And she has widely been credited with making the right decisions on behalf of the people of South Dakota. You know, I think what we've seen sometimes, unfortunately, is governors are panicking. They're caving to the left. They're afraid of the unions. But the fact that some of these governors have determined which businesses can open and which ones can't should scare people. The fact that if you're a big box store like Walmart, you can be open, but if you're a small mom and pop store, you can't be. If you work at a supermarket, you're an essential employee, or you're a nurse, you're an essential employee. But if you have a job that, you know, they don't agree is the right one, then you don't get to go to work. You got to stay home. There's some craziness going on here, yeah. Right? We're a country of 330 million people. That's very diverse. There's not a one size fits all approach. There has to be a component of personal responsibility. If you are a person who is susceptible to potentially dying because you've caught this disease, you need to take precautions. If you don't feel comfortable, we recommend you wear a mask. By the way, personal hygiene is a thing that everybody should be comfortable with, which is washing your hands for 20 seconds and making sure you're not putting yourself in an environment that could easily spread these germs. But we can't just close our economy forever. We had the hottest economy in the world in March. We had, on average, the lowest unemployment rate ever recorded for almost every demographic out there, whether you're African-American, Asian-American, Hispanic-American. We had more people working than at any time in our nation's history. We were the envy of the world, and we shut it all off. Yep. We shut it off to save lives. It's now time to think about opening our government and our country in a responsible manner. And look, the way our lifestyle has changed will be forever noted because of this pandemic. Maybe it is the standard where everyone wears face masks when they're flying on airplanes. I don't know. But look, I'm willing to do whatever it takes so that I can go back to a lifestyle which has my children in school. We're socially interacting with people again. We're, you know, God forbid someone dies, we couldn't even have funerals because you couldn't have anybody in the room. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. You know, it's time to have a life that is what we were used to in a different format, but we've got to get the country back to work.
Absolutely, Corey. And I don't see it, though, yet. I mean, I'm in a state that's supposedly pretty conservative and open and pro-business, and I don't see it. And I hope we do get back to that point, though. All right, Corey, hey, I hope we can get you back. We got not too long to go. Where are we at, 100 days tomorrow on Saturday?
We're 100 days on Saturday for this election. And so, you know, we're going to try and get Sleepy Joe out of his basement. And let me make this bold prediction. I know your listeners aren't going to love this, but I'm going to make the prediction. I'm going to predict that the first debate, which is scheduled for September 29th at Notre Dame University, is not going to happen, because I'm going to predict that Joe Biden is going to come up with an excuse of why he won't get on the debate stage with President Donald Trump. He's not going to be able to hide in his basement forever. That's his strategy. He has no plan for the American people. He doesn't want to come out and talk to the American people. He doesn't take questions from the media. So you might hear it here first. I am predicting that Joe Biden is not going to do the first debate. He's going to find a reason not to do it, and the press will give him a pass. And that's a shame. We got to hold him accountable.
Absolutely. I think you're right. And we'll hold you to that. We'll get you back after that cancellation. And hope to have you back real soon. All right, Corey. Hey, appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Tell me what you think. I'd love to hear from you. Your comments, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Also, the 24/7 comment line's open for you, 877-971-3971. Here's what I want to do. I want to come back. I got Fox News top of the hour, and I want you to stick around, because I'm going to come back at 5:06. Hit on some of the week's highlights, including more on Governor Ducey's press conference, and maybe kind of touch on what Corey Lewandowski was just saying about these governors caving to the left, and I mean indefinite closure of bars and gyms and things like that. And I'm going to get into it next hour. I got a lot to say still. But the out of touch that some of these politicians have, and in this case, Governor Ducey, releasing a promotional video to wear a mask and, you know, we're going to beat COVID and we're tougher than COVID, whatever he was saying. But at the same time, extending the closure of gyms where this guy would probably have to train, who's the boxer, extending the closure of gyms indefinitely. I'm going to talk more about that. And plus, I'll try to get to some more of your comments, folks. So stick around. Be back in just a couple minutes.